What about the New Testament? Well, yes, we do find teaching about fornication today. It is true. But there are various interpretations. The matter of concern is, with whom is the fornication committed? It has been shown that Jesus referred the matter back to Balaam and the Old Testament. The apostles Peter and Jude did the same. The apostle Paul is bold in his connecting of fornication in the New Testament with fornication in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 3,000. This is about the worship of Baal Peor. This refers us once again to Balaam's advice or doctrine of Baal. Although Paul does not use Balaam's name, the judgment against Israel for false worship with the gods of other races is given as an example confirming God's judgment against this. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Are we to accept admonishment and this example or not? Paul shows that this is a common temptation for all the Israelites to whom he is writing. At this point, it is necessary to remind readers of the foundation that was laid in the lesson entitled That Unfortunate Word, Gentile. The impact of 1 Corinthians 10:1 cannot be escaped. The people being addressed could only be Israelites. Look at it. They were Israelites. What happened to Israel was that they were led into idolatry through foreign women. This is New Testament doctrine. The realization of the importance of this aspect of fornication will add to the appreciation of a number of other scriptures. Let us consider some of these. In response to a question about whether it was appropriate for a man to divorce his wife, Jesus answered, Matthew 19:9, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whosoever marrieth her, which is put away, doth commit adultery." This excerpt for fornication should be taught in its right connection with divorce and remarriage. Jesus made it clear that all men could not receive this saying, save they to whom it is given. It is not given to everyone, to every race. Jesus says so. Much has been written about what porneia, fornication, applies to, and it is now usually generalized to include all illicit sexual intercourse. This generalization is not valid, since adultery, for instance, is a different word completely. It has also become inclusive of all pornography, as this is known today. This is appropriate, because pornography is lust of the mind, and it is, in the words of the modern technology, to implement Balaam's doctrine. Perhaps it would be called, if it was called Moabitography, fewer Israelites would be seduced by it. But Ahab's conciliators would never accept such a move. It would be discrimination against Moabites, and hence illegal. W.E. Vine says in his dictionary, porneia is illicit sexual intercourse, metaphorically, of the association of pagan idolatry with doctrines of and professed adherence to the Christian faith. Thayer, in his word lexicon, says about porneia, illicit sexual intercourse, metaphysically, the worship of idols, of a different defilement of idolatry, as incurred by eating the sacrifices offered to idols. Paul shows that the pagan practice is mixed racial marriage is not to be indulged in by Israelites, 1 Corinthians 6:12-18. We will quote Jude, who mentions Cain. Jude, verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for a reward." Jude links the New Testament with Genesis. Jude links false teachers with Cain and with Balaam. They had the same error. There was an anticipated reward through the heir of Balaam. This reward was monetary gain. This is nothing new. However, throughout all the Bible, we have a consistent theme. We find God always keeping a portion of his order pure, separate, and undefiled. No fornicator will inherit the kingdom of God, 1 Corinthians 6:9. This means no race mixer will inherit the kingdom of God, and neither will their children. This again presents the racial separation of Israel from other nations. In the New Testament, the call is still to come out from among them and to be separate. 2 Corinthians 6:17. In the verse, touch, which is haptomia, is a word used of carnal intercourse with a woman, like it or not, confirm this in 1 Corinthians 7:1-3. The them in this verse are unclean people that are not to be touched. Unclean is a Greek word which is used as a noun, shows that there is a difference between clean and unclean people, with the clean not to touch the unclean. The yoke in 2 Corinthians 6:14 is with this touching or sexual intercourse, which means a different sort of people or one who is not an equal. God also made clean and unclean animals and fish. Each were born that way. Thus, people of other races outside of Israel cannot be made clean by making some profession in Jesus or being baptized. They have to be begotten by a father in the line of Adam, Israel, begotten from above, John 3:3. Thus, sex with them by an Israelite is fornication and the physical and spiritual union with false gods and idols. There is frequent reference to show that God's judgment is upon those of Israel who transgressed by having this common carnal intercourse with other races and going after strange flesh. This shows up also throughout the New Testament. Jesus says in Revelation, he holds it against the churches which hold the doctrine of Balaam in Revelation 2:14. From the 60 mentions of Balaam, it is possible to determine the nature of this doctrine, because almost all denominations hold the doctrine of Balaam without knowing it. We can understand just why it is never taught. Probably few know what this doctrine is, but all should if Jesus holds it against it. 2 Peter 2:15 indicates that people with this doctrine have gone astray. Jude 11 says they are holding it in error. New Testament fornication has not changed from the Old Testament fornication. Even if we like to try and say that porneia has no racial connotations today, that's wrong. In 1 Corinthians 10:8, we are told that all that is mentioned in this passage are for examples to us. When we read what one example is, we find that neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 3 and 20,000. Look back to the Old Testament and find what caused 3 and 20,000 to die. It was Israelites having sex with non-Israelites. Moses even demanded that all Israelites who did this should be slain because of the idolatry that would follow. King Solomon got caught this way, and it led to idolatry. We read in plagues in Israel because of this, Numbers 25:6-8. These things are written for our admonition, we are told in 1 Corinthians 10:11. But because of the popular but wrong doctrine of to the contrary, this necessity for admonition is not accepted today. Jezebel, the foreign wife of Ahab, is permitted in the churches today, even if Jesus says he holds it against the churches. What this means is that the New Testament doctrine about racial intermarriage and the same as that of the Old Testament. So when did the doctrine change to the belief that God no longer requires Israel to dwell alone, to intermarry with other races and not be separate from the other races? When Paul says in 2 Corinthians 6:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate and touch not the unclean thing, the word thing should be people. He is talking about people coming out from amongst people, not things. Them are people. Can any deny this? Thing in the King James Version and other translations is not in the Greek. When we look further at fornication, we find the Jewish leaders raised the matter of fornication, saying in John 8:41, we be not born of fornication, we have one Father, even God. Jesus laid it on the line to them, replying that they were not Abraham's children through Isaac, although they were Abraham's seed. These Edomites knew that Israelites were the children of God, and hence tried to claim descent from Abraham as entitlement to be included with Israel as children of God. They also knew that the pursuit of other gods was classed as fornication, and it is by their actions that they show from which side of the line they came. Jesus said to them, I know that you are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. There is no way for them to be saved or be born again. There's no such thing as born again. They must be born in the beginning. They must be begotten from above. They could not hear it. Then Jesus goes on to speak about observing deeds done as a means of determining who are begotten of God and who are not. If God were your Father, you would love me. Their actions showed they did not love Jesus. The lust of your father you will do. This indicates the 100% orientation of the minds of the Pharisees against Jesus. Even if they do say, we have one Father, even God. Although they were Abraham's seed, their seed had gone astray when Esau polluted the line by marriage outside his race. Esau despised his birthright. This is what led to his idolatry. Esau tried to find repentance with tears, but could not. This is true of Esau's mixed-race descendants for all generations, Malachi 1:3-5. The whole subject of divorce on grounds of except for fornication should be taught if the churches were prepared to give a balanced account of the Bible's teaching. The early church were given the same warning as we are today, Acts 15:29. That ye abstain from fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:13. The body is not for fornication, 1 Corinthians 6:18. Flee fornication, Ephesians 5:3. But fornication, let it not be once named among you, Colossians 3:5. Mortify therefore fornication, 1 Thessalonians 4:3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. The essence and consequences of fornication is corruption of the truth, a leaven that has to be purged. In the book of Revelation, there is much reference to the fornication in connection with Babylon and the harlot of Rome. Rome is described as a great whore. This is the whore above all whores, Revelation 19:2, which corrupts the earth with her fornication. Ask these questions about the Roman Catholic Church. Who is the great advocate of racial intermarriage? Who always has been? Who does not believe that God set boundaries for the races? Deuteronomy 32:8. And Acts 17:26. Who advocates one world church of all races? Whom can we blame for the problems relating to multiculturalism, particularly in the Western world? Whose religion blends in with any culture? Who originated much of what is taught today in Protestant churches on the subject of the universal church from all races? Corruption in doctrine has led to the many denominations that ignore what fornication really is. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, shall he find the faith, belief, on the earth? Luke 17:8. The doctrine of Balaam is accepted almost universally, and it is one of the objectives of the United Nations. World government is working to promote the fusion of all races by interracial marriage. Other fronts are promoting breaking down the barriers. The object is the corruption of the Anglo-Saxon Israel bloodline through interracial marriage. Evangelist Billy Graham is reported in the Charlotte Observer as saying, "I don't see anything wrong with interracial marriage. There is nothing in the Bible to forbid it. It all comes down to a practical matter in today's culture, and integration is the only solution. We've got to be totally integrated in our homes, in our worship services, even in marriage." Perhaps he reads a different Bible. Jezebel is alive and well, certainly, in his Bible. Revelation 2:20, "Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication." What is the effect of Jezebel's teaching? It is to teach and seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed to idols. Here we see idolatry again. Who does Jezebel seduce? It is my servants, Jesus said. It is God's servants' race that is seduced. The seduction is to commit fornication with other races, as Balaam advised Balak. Note well, Jezebel herself was not an Israelite by race. She wrought havoc within the nation, but Jezebel is teaching within the assemblies. Can I afford to continue to suffer her teaching any longer? What about going astray? We might have our own idea about what going astray means. There may well be many applications, but the Apostle Peter identifies one way of going astray in particular. We can be certain about this way. Please take note that this is a New Testament statement, 2 Peter 2:15, "which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness." Here we find another mention of unrighteousness, which is connected with Balaam's teaching. We cannot avoid the connection in context with sex and eyes full of adultery and cursed children, promises of liberty, and that is worse than the beginning, says Peter. The Apostle Jude brings up the same theme also in Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and run greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kore. Here we see an attempt to profiteer outside of God's purposes. In Jude, we find again the warning of one of woe over Balaam's doctrine, through which they hoped for reward to satisfy their greed.